إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد. We continue our readings in the book Al-Kabair, the book about the major sins, the major sins, that which is impermissible and forbidden in a major manner, and that which has a major effect on a person's faith and his iman, and on his manners and on his conduct, and on his behavior and on his demeanor. Even it's been mentioned that a person can fall into sin until it's seen on his face, yani the gloominess and the sadness, and it will affect him in his life. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So to learn about them is very important, to know them and to know the major sins, to know the major sins and to learn about them in detail in order to be aware of them and to avoid them and to fear Allah with regards to them and to stay away from them upon insight. So we have been reading the chapter the author he mentioned, rahimahullah, babu bughd as-salihin, the chapter with regards to detesting the righteous. And we have seen that this is from the major sins of the heart. And if it's simply found in the heart to detest the people of righteousness and piety, to detest them and to dislike them, the people that's, it's only known from them that they're upright and good, what they display outwardly whenever they leave their home, whenever the people they see them, and the likes like this, and that which is known from them apparently is that they are upright, that they are noble, that they are dignified, and that they are steadfast upon the straight path, striving to be obedient. And no doubt, no human being is perfect, and every human being and every person, every believer, he has mistakes. Even if he is from the best of them, he has shortcomings. But there is a difference between the one who strives against his soul and makes effort, and he will be righteous, and he will be upright, and he will have piety, even if he slips from time to time, and even if he has deficiencies in the likes like this. But he's working against his soul, and he's fearing Allah Azza wa Jal to the best of his ability. He'll become from the righteous in this manner. He'll become from the righteous in this manner, contrary to those who have no care and no concern, and they're negligent, yani apparently, with regards to the performance of the obligations, or avoiding and staying away from the prohibitions, and the hurumat of Allah Azza wa Jal have become light in this person's heart, until he perpetrates and commits actions of indecency and the likes like this publicly and privately. And privately, he's known for this affair. There's a great difference. So the one who outwardly displays righteousness and piety and is known for goodness and noble traits and behavior, yani, and holding fast to the legislation of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's righteous. And it's a major sin to despise him and a major sin to detest him. And this person here, as we have seen, is considered from the awliya of Allah azza wa jalla, and Allah, he will defend them. And Allah, he will defend them, the likes of these people. So this is, yani, from the benefits of that, of that which has preceded. The author, he again continued in this chapter with one last narration. He says, rahimahullah, an Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu marfu'a, that is narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he said, la yubghidu al-ansara rajulun yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that no man, what is intended is no person, not necessarily a man or a male, no person, no man who believes in Allah in the last day will detest the Ansar. Will detest the Ansar. No one who believes in Allah in the last day will dislike or hate or have hatred or animosity in his heart towards the Ansar. This narration is found in Sahih Muslim. Likewise, another narration has come in Bukhari and in Muslim from the Hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said like this, similar, ayatul imani hubbul ansar wa ayatul an-nifaq bughdu al-ansar, that the sign of faith, ayatul iman yani alamataha, alamatahu, the sign of faith, The sign of faith, the sign that a person, he has faith and that it's good, is that he loves the Ansar. Is that he loves the Ansar. And the sign of hypocrisy and the sign of weakness of faith and hypocrisy, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, is that he detests the Ansar. That he detests the Ansar. The Ansar, they are those who believed. Those who believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first and foremost, yani from the people of Al-Madinah. And they are known as Banu Qayla. And there are two sons from one, from the same mother. Her name is Qayla. And they were known as that, Al-Aws and Al-Khazraj. And this was their names. And they used to have great enmity and disputes amongst each other in the times of Jahiliyyah. But they were united. They were united and became from the best of mankind and the best of the believers by the aid, by the mercy and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the proper creed and belief and following Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we see here that no one who truly believes in Allah in the last day, believing in Allah, meaning that He is the creator and provider and sustainer, that He is the one who's worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last day, meaning in the day whenever the people, they will return back to Allah, the one who created them and provided for them and sustained them. And they will be held accountable for their actions on the day of the meeting of Allah. No one who believes in Allah and the last day and in the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he detests the Ansar. He dislikes them. He dislikes them. In our previous class, we had a question about who is more virtuous from the two, the Muhajirun or the Ansar? The Muhajirun or the Ansar? The Muhajirun. Qawlun wahid. Who is more virtuous? From the companions, the best of the companions are the Muhajirun or Ansar. The companions are in a number of categories. Yani from the best of them is al muhajirun wal ansar. Al muhajirun wal ansar. Then there are those who accepted from the other tribes and from other lands, and those who accepted Islam in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the conquest of Mecca, so on and so forth. The best of them, and they're all promised paradise. We have seen that before, huh? Kullan wa'ada Allahu al-husna. Allah, He promised all of them Jannah. All of them are promised paradise. Wallahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. And Allah, He does not go back on His promise. Alhamdulillah. So they all have that virtue. They all have the eyes to see in the eyes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they believed in him and they died upon that way. So they all have the promise of paradise and the mercy and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. But their ranks and levels, the best of them, al-muhajirun and the ansar. Al-muhajirun and the ansar. Before the Islam of the Ansar, the Muhajirun, they were oppressed, and many of them, they were tortured, and even some of them were killed. In Mecca, they were oppressed, and they were tortured, and they were harmed, and they were boycotted, and they were left in desert valleys for a great period of time, and they had a boycott against them, and some of them were tortured and forced to say foul statements and the likes, and some were even killed. Some were even killed in oppression and in the likes, yani for their religion, persecution, and they were very weak. They were very weak. And then whenever the Ansar accepted Islam, and then they left their homes and they went to Medina, at this time they became very strong. The Ansar, they pledged allegiance with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to protect him and to aid him, and that they'll welcome him and his followers in Mecca, and that they would establish the religion and abide by his commandments and follow him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and aid him and support him. And whenever they came to Medina, Islam became strong. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the aid and the help of the Ansar. The Ansar, by the way, means the helpers, the supporters, the aiders. And at this time, the legislation became established, and the Islamic government society was established, and it was upright. And the faith became strong, and from there Islam spread through the lands into the world until this day. After the acceptance of the Islam of the Ansar and the help and the aid of Ansar by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So who is best, the Muhajirun or the Ansar? Why? Hati dalil al-alamat taqul. What's the proof for what you say?
Because the best of mankind after Prophet was Abu Bakr and Abu Bakr was from
the Mihaj. So because Abu Bakr, he's from them, and he radiallahu anhu, from the blessing that Allah gave Abu Bakr is just overflowing to him. Yani, he's from them, so they're along with him, the best of mankind. He's the best of mankind after the prophets and messengers. Yani, Abu Bakr and Umar, right? And then even after them, Uthman and Ali, all four of them. The Khulafa al-Arba', al-Rashidun, al-Mahdiun, all of them are from the Muhajirun. Okay, so then the Hajirun and Junun are better than all of them.
They're heavier.
They outweigh them. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. They surpassed them in faith. They're the first to accept Islam, and they left their homes and their property and their wealth in the path of Allah.
Allah start with them in ayat.
Mahan, but what now?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he mentioned, he started with the muhajirin.
Allah, he started with muhajirin in the verses that have preceded, and also in Surah Tawbah, as-sabiquna al-awwaluna min al-muhajirin wa ansar. So whenever Allah mentioned them together, he mentioned the muhajirun first. So this is all indication that they're better.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the three type of the believer, the first type of muhajirin, second type of ansar, third type the one who come behind them to pray for them.
Those who follow after them. I understand your points. This is all good. This is all proof. But there's a more clear proof. This is all right and good. Alhamdulillah. But what is the Ansar? What are they famous for? How did they get their name? What did they do? That they gave aid, they supported and aided and helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their wealth and their property and their life. With their wealth and their property and their life. So they're called the Ansar. So what are their main trait is what? A Nusra. Help and support and aid and defense. A Nusra. They have a Nusra. Right? Okay, now we have a point. Now I'm leading somewhere. Those two verses, that's before the verse the author mentioned.
And they are supported. ينصرون الله ورسوله.
ينصرون الله. So who is that?
المهاجرين.
المهاجرون. What is the attribute of the مهاجرون? للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه وينصرون الله ورسوله. So the مهاجرون, they have the هجرة. They have a هجرة along with them, and they have نصرة. They have نصرة. So they have a virtue above. The Ansar, they have the Nusra, alhamdulillah. This is a favor that Allah has specified them with, and a bounty and a blessing that they have over the rest of mankind. But the Muhajirun, they have that likewise, and the Hijrah. Because the Muhajirun, likewise, they have the aid and support. And they aided and supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as well. And they have the Hijrah. So this is a benefit that I used to hear from Shaykh Abd al-Muhsin. He would mention that the Muhajirun, they have a Hijrah wa Nusra. So they have a level above. They have a virtue above the Muhajir, above the Ansar because of this. The Ansar, they have a Nusra, alhamdulillah. But the Muhajirun, they have a Hijrah and a Nusra. And the proof is that verse there. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. This is about the Muhajirin. That they made the migration, they left their homes, they left their wealth, seeking the pleasure of Allah and to help and aid Allah, meaning his religion, and to help and aid the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Also, if the Ansar give their wealth, the Muhajirin give their wealth. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Ma nafa'ani mali, ma nafa'ani mali Abu Bakr." All of them. The Muhajirin give their amwal.
So they left their family and their homes.
They push the slave and they free them for sabilillah.
Allahu Akbar. So they all have great virtues. All of them had great virtues. All of them, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. The Muhajirun and the Ansar. The point now is that the Muhajirun, they have a virtue above them. They have a virtue above them because they not only do they have the Nusra and the help and the aid, also they have the migration along with that. So here in this narration here, the sign of hypocrisy is to detest the Ansar, and the sign of sincere faith is to love the Ansar. And this is because no doubt any after the Islam of the Ansar, this is whenever Islam became apparent. This is whenever Islam became, it was well known and then became spread, and likewise it became established. So by the permission of Allah and the aid of the Ansar and the migration to Al-Madinah, at this time, this is whenever the religion became apparent. The religion became strong. The religion became upright. The legislation started becoming complete and perfected in this manner until the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So by their pledge of allegiance, and by their aid and support, and by them preparing Medina and getting it ready for the Muhajirun to come to them, and the likes like this, at this time, their religion became established and well known, and the Islamic government was formed. The Islamic government was formed at the leadership of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jumu'ah was started, the Adhan came. Like all of the sacred rites of Islam, they started coming one after one. Ramadan, and then after that, the Zakat al-Fitr, and then the changing of the Qibla. All of these affairs, they became established after the acceptance of Islam of the Ansar. So therefore, to detest them is to detest what they did from aiding and helping and establishing the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then also, if we realize now that who is more virtuous? Although they're great, all of them are great. This is not by like taking, belittling one or the other, لا, or looking down upon the Ansar, لا, just clarifying the virtue that they have. The Muhajirun, they have a greater virtue. So if the sign of hypocrisy is to dislike the Ansar, how about the one who dislikes the Muhajirin?
He's even more severe,
even greater a sign of hypocrisy. Even greater sign of hypocrisy. And then even greater than that, the best of them, having animosity for Abu Bakr or for Umar or for Uthman or for Ali. This is the best of the Muhajirun. The best of the Muhajirun, radiallahu anhum. So even greater and even greater. Even greater and even greater. So the point of the author here now is to clarify the issue of this affair, that it's an obligation to love the righteous. At the head of them, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. It's an obligation to love them for the sake of Allah. To love them for the sake of Allah. And to love the righteous likewise who are upon their way. And they take precedence. And there's no righteousness except by what they have narrated to us. And except the efforts that they had put forth. Yani the Muhajirun, they're the ones who gave up their... The Muhajirun, the Ansar, they're the ones who gave up their life and gave up their wealth and gave up their property and gave up their souls, literally. Literally, any for the establishment of the religion. And then they and conveying that likewise, and transmitting that to those after them. To those after them until it reached us in this manner. So every good deed that we know, every righteous deed that we know, every sunnah that we know, even the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Noble Quran is transmitted to us by way of them. It's transmitted to us by way of them. So they share in the reward of that. So the righteous is the people who follow them. And take them as role models. And take them as role models in their creed, and their worship, and their manners, and their deeds, and their conduct, all of these affairs. So to love the righteous, this is an obligation for the sake of Allah. At the head of them, the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the author, he says, Babul Hasid. Babu al-Hasid. The chapter of envy. Or the chapter of jealousy. Al-hasid, yani envy and jealousy. Envy and jealousy. And he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah, the Most High, أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and or are they jealous of the people because of that which Allah has given them from His grace, because of that which Allah has given them from His grace. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ, yani have jealousy and envy for the people. What's been mentioned about this is they here is referring to the Jews, al-Yahud. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ يَعْنِي al-Yahud. أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ النَّاسَ يَعْنِي النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَصْحَابَهُ. يعني are they jealous and have envy of the people? Meaning, do the Jews have jealousy and envy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he received prophethood and he's from the Arab and he's not from the children of Israel? He's from the Arab and he's not from the children of Israel. So the Jews, they had envy for him and they had jealousy for him because of this. And likewise, they had jealousy for the companions as well as being from the Arab, and because they followed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this attribute here, this characteristic here, which is a major sin, and likewise it's also in the heart as well, envy and jealousy. This is from the attributes of the Jews specifically. From the attributes of the Jews specifically. Ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhuma, al-Yahudu hasaduhu, yani al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala al-Nabuwa, wa ashabahu ala al-Imani bihi.
على الإيمان به. That Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, with regards to this verse, he said that the Jews, they had jealousy and envy towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his prophethood. Because of his prophethood. And they had envy and jealousy towards his companions رضي الله عنهم because they believed in him and followed him. Because they believed in him and followed him. And even it was the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the Ansar. It was the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jal upon the Ansar that the Jews had informed them that there's going to be a prophet coming. There were Jews in Medina, yani in the time of Jahiliyyah, before the coming of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to tell the Aus and the Khazraj that there's a prophet coming, and whenever he comes, we're going to destroy you. You're the Ummiyun, the illiterate Arab, and the idol worshippers and the pagans, and the Jews are telling them that we're waiting on a prophet. There's a prophet awaiting, that he's coming soon. When he comes, we're going to destroy you. So the Ansar, they had knowledge of this affair, any of a coming of a prophet, any that these Jews were claiming. And this was a reason, whenever they finally met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a small number of them, after they met him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they told each other, this is what the Jews were telling us about. They were telling us about a prophet coming. We're going to hurry up and accept Islam and follow him, so that they will not be able to harm us or do what they had mentioned. We're going to beat them to believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they did. And the Jews, they had enmity and they had jealousy, yani for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they're expecting the prophethood to be in their lineage still. And if the Jews are expecting the prophethood has had preceded to be in their lineage, and the lineage of Bani Israel, but it had come by the decision of Allah Azza wa Jal to be from the lineage of Ismail and not from Ishaq alayhim as-salatu wassalam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came from the Arab, and the Jews, they had enmity and they had jealousy because of this. So this verse is with regards to this, and this is what Allah, he mentioned about them. Likewise, وَوَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَيُرُدُّوكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَارًا حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. That many of the people of the book, yani many of the people of the book, and specifically from them, the Jews, they wish that they could turn you back from your faith. They wish they could turn you back, meaning cause you to apostate after you believe. To cause you to apostate after you believe, and to be disbelievers again out of envy and jealousy. So this is a goal that the disbelievers, they want, particularly the Jews and the Christians, and that they want the Muslims to turn back from their religion. And they're striving upon that way. And Allah, he warned in his book in more than one place, many, many places in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, particularly in Surah An-Nisa or in Surah Ali Imran, An-Nisa, after that, Al-Ma'idah. In these verses, there are warnings. In these chapters, there are warnings of taking the Christians as friends and as companions, and that what they want to do is to mislead you after you have believed, and to turn you back from your faith, and to turn you back from your faith. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تُطِيعُوا فَرِيقًا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ يُرُدُّوكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كَافِرِينَ. Oh, you who believe, if you take a group of the people of the book as companions, as friends, then they're going to turn you back on your heels after you have believed. This is what they want. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكُمْ يَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. This is what Allah said. And the Jews and the Christians will never be pleased with you until you follow their way. There are many verses along the line of this meaning. And there are threats likewise. وكيف تكفرون وأنتم تطلع عليكم آيات الله وفيكم رسول وفيكم رسول. Then Allah, he promised like, ومن يعتصم بالله فقد هدي إلى الصراط المستقيم. If you hold fast with your faith and trust in Allah and obedience to Allah, then you'll be guided. But if you are deceived by the likes of this society and the people in this society, and you think that they want good for you because they're nice and smile on your face, that's not true. Do not be deceived. لا يغرنكم تقلب الذين كفروا في البلاد. Do not be deceived by the way they go out through to the lands. وَهُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِتْ their destination, يَعْنِي مَتَاءٌ قَلِيلٌ وَمَا هُمْ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِتْ وَبِتْ سَنْمِهَانُ بِعَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So the point is that this is from the attributes of the people of the book, even more specifically the Jews, and that they have enmity and they have hatred. They have enmity and hatred, they have jealousy. This issue here of jealousy in their heart, envy and hatred and jealousy in their heart for the believers because they believe. For the believers because they're pious. For the believers because they fear Allah. And because they hold fast to their religion and they believe in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So a believer, he holds fast to his religion, and he holds fast to his way, and he holds fast to the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The point here now is that this is a major sin, and this is a dangerous affair, and that this is something that will bother a person and destroy his heart, and it will burn his heart out of his heart, and it will keep him up at night if he has envy and jealousy for others. If he has envy and jealousy for others, it's been mentioned at Qurtubi. He said, "Rahimahullah, wal hasadu madhmumun, wal hasadu madhmum, wa sahibuhu maghmum." He said that hasad is something that is blameworthy, something that is lowly and blameworthy, and the one who has it, he's always worried, and he's always distressed, and he's always unhappy, and he's always grieving, and he'll never be happy. The one who has envy and jealousy burning in his heart for somebody, literally it will burn in his heart. It will burn in his heart, and you will find him mentioning that person all the time, thinking of that person all the time, and you're talking bad about him, or saying evil things about him, or foul things about him, and the reason for that, the fuel that's causing this speech to come, and this bad talk to come, maybe it's backbiting, maybe it's carrying tales, maybe it's belittling, maybe it's looking down upon him, maybe it's covering his good and displaying his faults and the likes like this. What's causing that to occur is that because he has jealousy, and envy in his heart. And it's even, and it's very severe amongst peers, people who are on the same level in job and occupation, or in rank and status in society, or especially in leadership, and likewise even more specific in seeking knowledge amongst the people of knowledge and the students of knowledge. At this time, the peers are here, even to the extent that people of knowledge, they consider al-hasad min afat al-ilm. Al-hasad min afat al-ilm. And al-ilm, it has ills and calamities, diseases that can come and corrupt the knowledge from the greatest of them, al-hasad. From the greatest of them, al-hasad, yani jealousy. Jealousy that will come and it will destroy a student or a person of knowledge, and it will turn him, instead of a benefit for his society and a benefit for the people, who be a fitna and a trial for them, waliyadu billah, because of jealousy and because of envy, because of jealousy and because of envy. I remember a narration by Sufyan al-Thawri just now. He mentioned, rahimahullah, that one of them will be, forget the wording, that one of them, he'll be very pious and righteous and engaged in ibadah and zuhud, min azhad al-nas. But if somebody tries to share with him in the seat and leadership and authority, he'll start bucking heads like rams. Yani, I forget the wording of the narration right now, subhanAllah. Yani, but yani, meaning that he will find one of them, he's righteous and he's pious and he's humble. But then if somebody else then he comes to be a teacher like him, or to be a qara like him, or somebody has knowledge on the level of him like this, all of a sudden now he'll start bucking heads like rams. He'll start bucking heads like rams, meaning he's not gonna let nobody come near his place. And he'll display outward piety. He can lower his gaze, and he can establish the prayer, and he can give charity, but he cannot dare have anybody taking his limelight. He cannot dare have anybody taking his limelight or testing him or trying him for his position or his authority. And so this is a major affair to be aware of. And we have seen the much evils in our community here in America, and specifically amongst Ahlul Sunnah, and those people who have experienced up close with the likes of these affairs, and know detailed and intricate stories and events that occurred, you will find that Allah knows best, the problem is right here. And a corrupt intention, having jealousy and envy, and the likes like this, and it brings much fitna and trials. Nasal Allah al-afiyah wa-salama. Al-afiyah wa-salama. So this is the case. The one who has it, he's always worried. Al-Hasan al-Basri, he mentioned, rahimahullah, ما رأيت ظالما أشبه مظلوما من حاسد. I never seen someone who is an oppressor resembled the oppressed more than the jealous and the envious. أشبه بمظلوم من حاسد. ما رأيت ظالما أشبه بمظلوم من حاسد. I never seen somebody who is himself is an oppressor more resembling the oppressed than the one who is jealous.
Mainly because of how much hardship he goes through and the ills that he goes through from his heart, because jealousy is a disease in the heart and it will eat at the person and it will bother him and it will tear him up inside, literally. Many times he will not be able to sleep at nighttime thinking about that person and what he's going to say if he sees him, what he's going to do whenever he sees him, and what he can, and the likes like this. And so this is something that's very dangerous. That's very dangerous. A believer, he will strive hard to avoid the likes of this affair. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned the reality of al-hasad. It is, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned, is tamani zawal al-ni'ma an al-ghayr. Yani tamani zawal al-ni'ma an al-akharin. Yani to hope that somebody, to hope the blessing will be removed from somebody else. This is one of the most famous interpretations or definitions of jealousy. To wish that the blessings of others will be removed from them. The blessings of others will be removed from them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he has some very beneficial speech with regards to this. And he mentioned, but rather, yani that's a type of hasid, no doubt about that. But rather, karahiyatu ni'mah. To karahiyatu ni'mah lil-akharin, this is hasid. This by itself, to dislike the blessing on somebody else. Even if he didn't wish it that it was gone, just the fact that if he sees somebody else having a blessing, he's seen a blessing on with somebody else, the fact that he disliked that. He's seen somebody else with money. And then whenever he sees that man having all that money, he don't like that. He don't like that. He bothers him. He don't like that so-and-so has lots of money. Somebody got a new car, he don't like it. He don't like that, this bothers him. He dislikes the fact that so-and-so got a new car. So-and-so has a big home. So-and-so has memorized the Quran. So-and-so's son has memorized Surah Thalatha. So-and-so's daughter is dressed in good clothing, or whatever the case may be. Like this, somebody will see that blessing that person has and dislike that. This is called hasid. This is called jealousy. This is called envy. Even worse than that is to wish that it was gone. Even worse than that, just to dislike the blessing. This is called jealousy. This is called envy. This is the major sin. Worse than that is to wish that it was gone. To wish that his money was gone, that he would go bankrupt. Or to wish that his car would be wrecked or be destroyed or stolen. Or to wish that his child would become misguided. Or to see that blessing on that person, whatever it may be, in himself, in his family, in his wealth, in his religion, in his knowledge, in his deen. Yani to dislike that, simply just to dislike that. This is hasid. We understand that. Worse than that is to wish he didn't have it. Worse than that is to wish he didn't have it. Or even if he wished it, sometimes wish he didn't have it, that would come to him. And all of this is considered hasid. But the minimum thing that we want to clarify, just to dislike that. Just to dislike that. So that's why whenever somebody, he sees somebody with some good, he sees somebody with some good in the worldly life, or he with some good in his family, or in his health, or in his prosperity, or in his wealth, or in his business, and his money, and his knowledge, and his worship, and his religion. Somebody, he's always in the first row in salah. And somebody, oh, that brother's this, and he has jealousy in his, he disliked that. He wish he would be late for salah sometime. Like this. And he disliked that in his heart. This is all jealousy. This is all jealousy. This is all jealousy. Then if he wished that it was gone, this is even more severe. Sometimes he'll wish that he was gone, that he didn't have the money and he had the money. He'll wish the other person didn't have it, will come to him. I deserve that, he will say. Oh, how does he? No, I deserve that. What, like this. And even worse than that is to make the steps and moves and to act upon that and to try to take that blessing from him. You understand that? So the first level of hasad is to hate that, to dislike it, to dislike blessing the others to have blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. The second level is to wish those blessings were gone, to wish those blessings were gone from that person, were removed from that person. And worse than that is to take steps to remove those blessings from them. To take steps, to talk, to say words, to make movements, to do things that will be a means to get those blessings taken from that person. So these are the levels of al-hasad, karahiyatu ni'mah, and then tamani zawaliha anhu thumma al-amalu ala izalatiha, al-amalu ala izalatiha. These are the three levels of al-hasad. The person who has hasad in his heart, he has a disease. So, for example, even if he disliked the blessing, then because that blessing is there and the fact that he dislikes it, now is hurting his heart. It's a disease in his heart like a cancer. So this thing, whenever he sees blessings on others, this bothers him. It starts burning in his heart. He don't like that. So this is why he will start wanting for it to be removed. And even if it becomes so bad and so corrupted, then he'll start working on removing that, even if he don't get it himself. What does he get from that? He cures his heart. What's burning his heart to death? He's got blessing. So if he takes that blessing from him, he feels better. You understand that? Because he has a disease in his heart. He has a disease. If it grows to this extent, then whenever that, if that blessing goes away, now it doesn't bother him no more. How he's poor like the rest of them, or he's corrupt like the rest of them, or so now the good that he gets, the manfa'ah, the benefit that he gets from that, is that his heart calms down and cools off, and so he works in this manner like this. That's why the people of knowledge, they call the hasood, the one who is jealous, they call him aduwwu ni'mah. Aduwwu ni'mah, he's the enemy of blessings. He's the enemy of blessings. Because whenever he sees a blessing, he can't stand it, he hates it. He dislikes it. He dislikes it and he hates it. And then if it grows and grows as has proceeded, he will work to remove that. In order to cure his heart. In order to cure his heart from that flame that is burning in there. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. The people of knowledge, they have mentioned the likes of these affairs in lines of poetry, and they have clarified a number of the ills of this affair. From that is that the one who has jealousy and the one who dislikes the goodness that others have, in reality, who is he in objection to? To the decree of Allah. The blessings, وَمَا بِكُمْ بِنِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Now there's no blessing or favor that you have except for it's from Allah. So the blessings that the people have, they're from Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah, He's pleased and has decreed that this so-and-so, he will have this wealth. So-and-so, he will have this wealth. So-and-so, he will have this health. So-and-so, he will have this knowledge. So-and-so, he will have this home. So-and-so, have this car. All of this is from the decree of Allah. All of this is from the wisdom and the will and the supreme knowledge of Allah. So the one who doesn't like that, in reality, he doesn't like the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has a problem. He's in opposition to the decrees of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Some of the poets, they mention Allah.
Ala kulli man.
Hat.
أتدري على من أسأت الأدب؟ أسأت على الله في فعله لأنك لم ترضى لما كتب.
ما شاء الله. That's it. It's a little bit different, huh? Ala kulli man ظل لي حاسدا. أتدري على من أسأت الأدب؟ أسأت على الله في حكمه. What did you say? في فعله.
Yeah.
هنا يقول في أسأت على الله في حكمه. This is from تفسير القرطبي.
لأنك لم ترضى.
He said أسأت على الله حكم أسأت على الله في حكمه إذا أنت لم ترضى لما وهب. إذا أنت لم ترضى لما وهب. So he said, أَلَا قُلِ مَنْ ضَلَّ لِي حَاسِدًا. Oh, say to the one who is always having envy and jealousy towards me. أَتَدْرِي عَلَى مَنْ أَسَتَ الْأَدَبِ. Do you know who you're having bad manners with? أَسَتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فِي حُكْمِهِ. You have bad manners with Allah and His decision and rule, His judgment. إِذَا أَنْتَ لَمْ تَرَضَ لِي مَا وَحَبْ. Because you're not pleased with Allah for what He has given to me. What He has given to me. So this is an important point to remember. That this is the case. The person who has envy and jealousy about the blessing and the good that others have, in reality, has a problem with the decree of Allah. And this is bad manners with Allah. Rather, he should submit to that and say, Alhamdulillah. And then because this envy and jealousy, this is not something that you can be free from entirely. It's there in the heart. The souls are tried with that. The souls are tried with that. It's a natural disposition and temperament that's in the human being, that Allah has created as a test and trial, that he likes to have goodness, and that he likes to compete with others, and he likes to be better than others, and he prefers that he is on top, and the likes like this. But the one who is noble, and the one who is good and upright, he will conceal that. He will conceal that, and he will fight his soul with regards to that, and he will not display that. And he will not let it overcome him to where he disliked that. So this is the case. As for the one who is a low life, then he will display that, and even it will let him over. He will let it overcome his heart, and then even he will act upon that. He will act upon that. So the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is: if you see something that you find to be amazing, or you see something that is appealing to you, or you see something that you like, and the likes like this, and somebody's wealth, and somebody's property, and somebody's health, and somebody's status, and somebody's rank, and somebody's religion, and somebody's knowledge, and somebody's child, and somebody's car, whatever the case may be, you say, Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. You make tabrik, tubarik. Yani Allahumma barik. Oh Allah bless him. Yani oh Allah bless him and all that you have given him and his wealth. With, you don't say Allahumma barik fi kada wa kada. You say Allahumma barik, like that. And it is encompassing all aspects. Oh Allah bless him. Oh Allah bless him. And this is from the means to stop the ayn and to stop the hasid and to remove that. And you'll be happy for them. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma barik. May Allah bless you. May Allah increase you. May Allah give you more. May Allah give you firmness. May Allah, and that's the meaning of Allahumma barik. Oh Allah bless you. Oh Allah increase you. Oh Allah give you more. Oh Allah make you steadfast and firm upon that. Oh Allah make your blessings remain and grow and become better. Like this. So this is what you say. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Even the hasad of a person, he can afflict his own self. And if the hasad da'in, and he can afflict his own self. He can, he'll look at his own child and be like, MashaAllah. يتعجب, and be amazed at his own child, and then afflict his own child with the ayn and the likes like that. So even a person, with regards to this hasad, and his own self, he'll be cautious and careful. So even if a person sees something he likes or amazing that Allah gave him from his own self, he got a new car and then he comes outside and he looks at his car and تُعْجِبُهُ. It's like, oh, mashallah, this car, Allahumma barik. What do you say now? Or you see your child, mashallah, you come home and your wife and children are all praying in ruku' or in sujood together, the girls and the likes like this. What do you, Allahu Akbar. Yani you're happy, it makes you happy, you find this amazing affair, but what do you do though? What do you say? MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Yani this is what you say for yourself. If you're amazed at something that Allah has given you, if you say something that Allah has given you, you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. And then if you see something Allah has given somebody else, you say, Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. People mix these things up. They say, MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. This is not even something, yani this mixed Allah, you say, Allahumma barik. When you see your brother, when you see your sister, when you see another Muslim like this, you ask Allah to bless them. You ask Allah to bless them. If you see yourself or some blessings that you have yourself from Allah Azza wa Jalla, you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. So the issue of al-hasad is a real issue, and it's a dangerous affair, and it can even turn into this, into the evil eye, as the people of knowledge have mentioned. And this is where it comes from. And this is where it comes from the jealousy, and from this envy, and from this amazement, and the likes, and this bad intention that lies in the soul and lies in the heart. Sometimes a person may not realize it, and he might not realize it himself, but it will be there. It will be there. So this is a benefit from learning the likes of these affairs to be aware of that, and to strive to realize the diseases of one's own soul, and to repel them, to cure them, and to do away with them, and the likes. There's another type of hasad that is allowed. And there's a type of hasad that's allowed. Who knows that?
Al-Ghibta.
Al-Ghibta.
No, I didn't know it in Arabic.
Uh-huh. What is it?
Like a good quality that somebody has. Like I wish I could recite the Quran like him or give charity like him.
Ahsant. Yes, they call it Ghibta. Ghibta. Ghibta, yeah. So there's another type of al-hasad that people of knowledge, they mentioned that it's permissible, it's allowed, and it's not truly al-hasad, yani in the term or the meaning that we have been mentioning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned, and authentic narrations has come from Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Umar and other than I think from Abi Hurairah likewise. Radiallahu anhum, a number of narrations with similar meanings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La hasada illa fi ithnatain." La hasada illa fi ithnatain. There is no hasad except for in two affairs. There's no hasad except in two affairs. And the narrations are some of them are a little bit different, but the summarization that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man atahu Allahu
حكمة فهو يقضي بها ويعلمها فهو يقضي بها ويعلمها a man who Allah has given him wisdom, knowledge, and he judges with it and he teaches it. And another wording, a man who Allah gave him the Quran, which is knowledge, and he recites it all night and all day, all night and all day. And then the second one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man الرجل أتاه الله مالا فسلطه على هلكته في الحق. And a man that Allah has given him wealth, and he has used it all in the path of truth, yani, and that which is permissible, and that which is good, that which is allowed, yani, spending his wealth in the path and the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the people of Nahr, as they mentioned here, that what it means here, there's no jealousy except in these two affairs. That what is not intended here is jealousy from the definition that has preceded, yani, disliking the blessing, but rather it's called al-ghibta. The word al-hasad here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he's referring to is al-ghibta. Al-ghibta is whenever someone, he will see some good that somebody else has, and he will like to have it. He will like to have the same thing, and he will like to do the same thing. Even some of the wordings of that narration, the person, he recite the Quran all night and all day, and his neighbor will see him and hear him, and he'll say, he said, "Laytini la utitu mithla ma utiya fulan fa'amiltu mithla ma ya'malu." And that he would say, "Oh man, if I was only given the likes of what he was given, and I would do the likes of what he's doing." Yani, the one who his neighbor hears him reciting the Quran all the time, yani, reciting the book of Allah in the daytime and the nighttime, and then his neighbor finds out about this, and then he says, "Oh man, I wish I was given the knowledge he was given, and I would do the same thing he's doing. Yani, I would do what he's doing. If I had knowledge like that, if I memorized the Quran like that, I'll recite it all day and all night just like him. Alhamdulillah." So he wish he had that blessing without having no dislike for that person or the fact that that person has the blessing whatsoever. But he will see that person have some good like that, and he would like to have the same thing, and he would like to do the good that he's doing, and he has. So this is called hibta. So this is allowed with regards to knowledge specifically, with regards to knowledge specifically, and with the Quran and the likes like that. And likewise with wealth, the man who had the wealth of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a similar thing, that a man saw it, would see him and say the same thing, "Ya laytani utitu mithla ma utiya fulan fa'amiltu bimithli ma ya'malu." I said, "Oh, if I only had what he was given, I would do it like he's given." Somebody has a lot of wealth, he's been blessed with money, and he's giving charity left and right. You find him spending and giving charity to the orphans, giving charity to the masjid, giving charity to the poor, giving charity to the students some knowledge, giving charity to this, supporting this, buying books for the students. Also, he's just spending his wealth in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, alhamdulillah. And he becomes known for that. Somebody sees that and say, "Man," and he's poor. But he says, I wish I had money like that. If I had money like that, I would do the same thing. Somebody building masajid, somebody giving charity, and the likes like this. They have money, they're giving charity, they're helping the poor in other countries and other lands, and the likes like this. And he's poor himself, or he doesn't have money like that to give charity like that on that level. But he sees that person doing that, and he says, "Man, I wish I had the same thing. If I had money like that, I'll do the same thing. I'll do the same thing." So this is allowed, alhamdulillah. So this is what is being referred to there. This is called الغبطه يغبطه نعم الغبطه يعني that he has غبطه, meaning that he sees the good that somebody else has, and he would like to have the same and do the same good that he's doing. يعني and while he has no hard feelings for that person, or he has no detest or dislike for that blessing, rather he would like to have the same thing and do the same thing in the same manner. We understand the difference between the two. So the one that's being referred to here is al-hasad. And the true hasid, which is envy and jealousy, and this is to dislike the blessings that others have. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he mentioned a number of ills that come along with hasid. And from them, he mentioned rahimahullah that the person who has hasid in his heart, waliyadu billah, he has a resemblance to the Jews. He has a resemblance to the Jews. Another foul trait that comes because of this, or mafsada, is that he has filth in his soul. This is a filth, this is a disease, this is corruption, this is khubth in his soul. Waliyadu billah. So this is in his soul. This is evidence for the fact that his heart is corrupted in his soul. Yani is tainted with this evil and with this illness. Likewise, in having hasid is being an objection to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, al hasid is like a coal burning in the heart of that person. It will never leave him alone. It will constantly have him worried and in stress and in grief and in distress, and because of his envy and jealousy. Likewise, it will prohibit him from striving to do that which is beneficial. Instead of going off and him trying to get that knowledge
or instead of him trying to go off and get the occupation and the job like that, or to work to have the same house like that or a big car like that, he would sit around grieved and sit around thinking about that person and burning inside about that person. If this person is that and this person is this, like this, and it will occupy him and preoccupy him and take him away from that which is most beneficial. And likewise, this is from having shuh and bukhul as well. It's a sign of shuh and bukhul, and in his soul, shuh is stinginess and greed, and he can't take it. Somebody else has blessings and not him. Somebody else has blessings, and all the blessings should be for him and nobody else. He's the one who comes first because of the greed in his soul, waliyadu billah. And likewise, whenever this person, he becomes known for that, he becomes known that he's one of those people that have that trait in his heart. When it becomes displayed and he becomes exposed, nobody will like him anymore. Nobody will like him anymore. And many times the people, they expose themselves with these affairs. It'll burn and it will burn and it will burn until it's displayed in their speech, until it's displayed in their actions, and Allah will expose them. And it's at this time the people, they will not like them anymore. They will detest them and despise them. And jealousy is something that can be seen, and there are signs and the likes like this. And from that is that a person, he will hide the good of others. Somebody will have lots of good, and then he will hide that and conceal that. Or somebody will mention somebody in a good light, and he can't help except for deny that. Or he'll be silent about that, and he will not like to go along with that. Or if you mention the good about the person he has jealousy for, his face will ball up, and he will not like that. It will bother him, or he will always try to work about exposing that person. And he, for example, some of them, they have jealousy for the students of knowledge. And then, mashallah, the brother came home and he graduated. He spent this many years, da da da. Well, but he doesn't have a tazkiyah from so-and-so. And then you tell him, actually, he has a tazkiyah from so-and-so. Oh yeah, but he doesn't have a tazkiyah from so-and-so and so-and-so. Like this, and it'll never stop for him. He'll keep burning and burning and burning. Burning and burning and burning. So this person, you just, you leave them and you let him burn out. You leave them, you seek refuge with Allah, you let him burn out. Like the poet, he said, "Isbir ala hasid al hasudi fa inna sabraka qatilu fa an-naru ta'kulu ba'daha in lam tajid ma ta'kulu." And he said to just be patient with the envy of the envious, because verily your patience will kill him. Because the fire, it will eat up itself if it does not find anything else to eat. If somebody who has that, you seek refuge with Allah, and you take the precautions, like making the adhkar in the morning and in the evening, and after all of the obligatory prayers, and making the adhkar in the before sleeping and the likes like this, and then striving to be obedient and to obey Allah Azza wa Jal and seek His protection and help, inshallah, when he will be safe from the jealousy of the jealous and from the envy of the envious. And this is something likewise that's in the hands of Allah and the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one will seek refuge and protection with Allah. After this, the author, he clarifies what's obligatory. Contrary to that, what's obligatory? An Anas radiyallahu anhu marfu'a. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. This is what's incumbent. To love for your brother what you love for yourself. And to detest for your brother what you detest for yourself. Likewise, the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه مرفوعا إياكم والحسد فإنه يأكل الحسنات كما تأكل النار الحطب أو قال العشبة رواه أبو داود. So the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of envy, because verily it eats up the good deeds the way the fire eats up the firewood. It's narrated by Abu Dawood. This narration has a weak chain, but the people of knowledge, they mentioned the meaning is correct, and there's other evidences to support that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.